except that it's in California. It's a Santa Barbara town.
What, the oil wells?
Yep, two more oil leases. And Rogers, Morton, and Licora were over yesterday and laid it out.
They for them?
They're for them. They want to let them drill. And everything they say is right in terms of the administration of their responsibilities, offshore oil, and jobs.
What does it mean, revenue to jobs?
Well, nobody knows, really.
No.
Nobody really knows. It amounts to a cash flow of $85,000 a day. Into the economy of the area. And it involves letting existing lessees drill two more wells beside three or four existing wells that they have in each of the localities. But California has declared a moratorium on all leasing, or on all drilling, on their leases in the Santa Barbara Channel. We have declared a moratorium, a two-year freeze, on all drilling, every place except in these two leases. And the Department of Interior made its proposal to allow this drilling. The LA Times came out with a headline that day and said, more Santa Barbara drilling. And it is a
hot issue locally.
Very hot issue locally. So Whitaker first rang the bell on them and said, stop, we want to take a look at this. And I just don't know how to gauge the politics. I talked to Finch, and he's doing more checking. But his offhand reaction is that it's bad politics for the state of California, and that we're unnecessarily asking for trouble.
No, no, job.
The alternative would be not to grant the permits, to let the oil companies sue. The best legal advice I can get is that they...
The union?
It's union and Sun.
Do they have the leases?
They have the leases. Buyers who know the most about it say that the oil companies will win and will be able to drill anyway. Yeah. Well, yes. And Hartley will scream out of anger. He catches each one of us whenever he gets a chance and works us over on it. The only thing I could think of to solve that problem would be to go to him and say, look, we've got a political problem, we're going to quit. And we're sorry to put you to this inconvenience, but you're going to have to sue us. And you just have to figure that's the cost of doing business. We'll try and make it up to you some other way.
How do we sort of wait? It would be eventually.
Ben raises that question. He says he doesn't think it's near as big as...
we don't know. But
that's it. Nobody knows.
Yeah. Why the hell will we find out?
All right.
It's not that big at all. I don't believe... Now, the argument is made for it from an environmental standpoint, that it's better to drill it.
Yeah.
That is to leave it in.
Sure.
Because you don't drill it at once. Once you punch the holes in, then you do is to take the oil out.
Get the pressure off. No, and the geologists all say that.
Yeah.
Whitaker...
Nobody believes it.
But the public, it isn't perceived. That's
the way we have to handle it. Our environmental council, are they against it?
No, we can clear that. And we got a report from one of New Bridges Committee about drilling in this area. We got a lot of good evidence. That isn't the problem.
The problem is what people think of that.
Exactly.
The way I would handle public relations, first let's get a poll to see how bad it is. Second, I'd say if you heard about the coverage.
How about the LA Times area?
Los Angeles County.
Their circulation area.
Los Angeles County, Orange County. Los Angeles, Orange County, Santa Barbara, Ventura, basically. Southern California. I can say Southern California period, I'm not sure I understand you clear about the pole loads. There are, I'd say there are, some geologists say there is, they can do it. So we should have taken the pole, probably these companies coming here, fishing or not, it's too much so for us to pay for.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, but, I'll say it, but.
I'll see if more.
No, but if they think we are taking pole, I should.
Okay, very good. You know that the foundation land deal in San Clemente's come along. The surveys and all that business is complete. What we're gonna do is go for legislation. It's the only way to do it. Drafting legislation, the director's gonna make.
What's the legislation?
It'll say that this particular parcel of land will be turned over to the General Services Administration as of a site for your presidential library. GSA and the archives. We'll work on enabling legislation so that the foundation can construct the building and actually own the improvements. That's what we think.
But if Johnson's land or any of their land don't go to GSA?
No, their land's owned by the state.
Maybe.
GSA administers the building, furnishes all the personnel, cleaned up.
That's what the BSA would do.
Same kind of a mixed arrangement. Owned by the state, building is owned by.
You would point out that this is, of course, that this is not land on the beach.
That's right.
Not the beach. The back of that property.
As soon as we're lined up, the next step is to have a meeting of the trustees, get them to select this as the desired site, and then go and talk to Ahern. As there is a next step. We'll get some of this legislation cleared off, this military corporation, some of that other stuff, just gotta get out of the way.
That's the excessive.
Hold on, it's right in scale. That's.
Still got the waiters and all, so.
Right. We are getting calls from Jack Dreyfus about a pill called DPH.
Oh, Bill Finchell.
Does Finchell like?
The land.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
Well, Dreyfus claims he's getting a runaround from federal agencies and.
Does he?
Want to check with him, see if you have.
He's talking, it's a famous, and Ryan knows about it.
Yeah.
The Kosh has came.
All right.
He talked to him about it, the Kosh knows about it too.
Well, I wouldn't bother you about it, except that he has mentioned that he's talking.
Well, he has a great theory about this bill. I don't know whether the damn thing is right or not. It's basically the pill that is used for epilepsy.
Mm-hmm.
And he has used it for himself, for others, in terms of for.
Other
nervous, yeah. Nervous disorder.
Yeah.
Well, basically, psychosomatic stuff, you see. And there's a lot of medical opinions of the effect that this same treatment is affecting, but certainly it's affecting some kinds of people who have any tendency toward epilepsy.
Yeah.
Well, but whatever the case might be, Dreyfus has put millions into the research.
That's what he said.
Millions of dollars. And frankly, I haven't seen any reason at all in that bill for today. According to I didn't expect much, but according to what Kosh told me, they do absolutely no harm. Well, they do good.
Now, sir, I'll track down those.
And Finch knows too.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, if you'd like to, it might be nice if you give Finch sort of a little franchise here, and let him talk to the Kosh, who had lunch with Dreyfus, and then he talks to the Kosh, and then he talks to the LA, and see if he can work something out.
Okay.
Tomorrow.
Rather than to take your time with a full-scale briefing on R&D right now.
Oh, yeah.
I'd like to have Gruder just come in for 15 minutes and tell you what he's doing.
Sure.
Because he's got a whole bunch of activity going.
All right.
And we'll have a domestic council meeting after the first of the month. And then do
the right time. I, as a matter of fact, we should,
Evening.
should follow that.
Well, there are a lot of activity.
What it has to do with, we all know, is the,
And we have a timetable for that.
So you've done some good work on it?
Yes, very good, very good. Got a lot of people in the private sector, and you've got the government turned inside out.
David's
involved.
They have lunch today. Peterson.
And there's quite a lot of press interest arising from the little remark in your speech.
Well, the new NASA thing, you know.
You have guys like Blissigar and Charlie Bartlett coming around saying, what's this all about?
You see, I think there's much advantage, remember I told you, why I had price checked, but to lift the curtain on things like that, rather than just blowing it out there. Let it talk about it, let it gestate a while, and all of a sudden we'll build something up.
Okay, so that's.
Incidentally, could I ask you on one other thing that I'd like you to write her on, that I'd like to hear about at some point. I want to be sure, John, at this time, we're getting all the backing that we need to Weinberger on budget, as Frankie Barron. And I know the other day, something came across the bridge, you recommended that we not cut back to where we are. I'm not so sure that's correct. It may be correct due to the fact that you talk to farmers, they say there's a lot of editors, there's a lot of talk about rural development, we don't do anything. And they do anything, it would seem to. Back to that, when it comes to the model cities and all the rest, that whole Peace Corps operation, VISTA, those are smaller. Even some of the old line stuff, this is really a time to take a hard look and do some shrinking.
Okay.
You remember the bill that you prepared one time?
Yes.
A couple of years ago? Yes. Let's go back over it. Maybe there's some of those agencies that can be dropped over the side now. In the name of economy, you can commit a lot of sins.
Okay.
And also do a lot of good things. Don't you think so?
Right.
I know Weinberger's gone and hold for it. But
yeah.
This budget problem is so serious that I just want to thank it. But also, I want to use it as an opportunity to do some shrinking of government where it ought to be shrunk. I rode down to the Capitol last night, and I see all these people with loafers standing out on the street. Getting 5%. Cut it doesn't mean anything, does it?
These buildings are just jammed with people.
They're jammed with people. They're thinking of each other.
Thinking small. This is the interesting thing. He's been out in the apartments, and he comes back and he said, God, those people think small. And then you say, what do we do about traffic safety? Well, how do we cut down death on the highways? What are the... And he says, they bring you stuff like the design of stop signs. He says, oh, I don't want that. He says, I don't want them thinking about anti-collision devices, things of that kind.
The young can think small, but you know it's an interesting thing. Another way to put it, John, is that very few think big. Governors think small.
Yeah.
You know, we get out those governors and they're whining and bitching around about policy things. Congressmen, senators, the years after you were meeting with those bastards. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
Generally speaking,
can't see beyond the district.
There are very few that can get up there. They get involved in their own little projects. Well, I guess that's inevitable, isn't it? Another problem is that if everybody talks big, we have a hell of a problem. They all want to sit here and tell us how to do it. They do anything.
Magruder says, as I told him, pretend you're the president. What would you do?
Yeah.
What would you advocate? What would you say to the Congress? He says, I can't get up with that.
What Magruder likely to do it.
Oh, that's fascinating. He's got these guys working nights. He's having his committee meetings at night.
But the little reference and speech were really triggered out on it.
Yeah. It really gave it a kick.
But it's nice that it's sort of ironic that we picked the SSP man to do it.
Well, you know, the press jumped all over that when we announced it.
Sure. Yeah. Well, what you say? How a capable man.
Well, sure.
And I'm for the SSP anyway.
The only other thing I have is a little progress report on congressional hearings in the Pentagon Papers.
Oh, yeah.
The boys were in yesterday, Martin was in, and we fell through defense and so on, and then Krogan Young stayed afterward. What it comes down to is that if we turn this over to the Congressional Committee, we can't control the scope of it. Only Henry is tied in so close with Gell, Halpern, and even Ellsberg that I don't know where to land.
I had a feeling all along that deep down is probably what Henry is desperately concerned about. Going after it all, but Henry's main concern is, after people that were breaking the faith of the public, on the ground that they were attacking innocent men. In other words, he was for the repression. But no, nothing in that issue.
No, and this
the
thing...
The only thing in the issue is to uncover the son of a bitch.
If they got a good counsel, and if he really tore into this, he would discover that there was a lot more than Ellsberg. He would discover this Nitze, Gell, Halpern complex. And a lot of hanky-panky in there. And
what about Nitze? How's he doing?
He's a co-conspirator with Gelb and Halpern.
Paul Nitze is?
Not quite sure. Quite sure. But he's the guy. There's a lot of hanky-panky with secret documents. And on the eve of the publication of the Pentagon Papers, those three guys made a deposit into the National Archives under an agreement of a whole lot of papers. Now, I'm going to steal those documents out of the National Archives.
You can do that.
And photograph them and find out what the hell's there.
How do you do that?
Well, through Kunzing, I can do that. He can send the archivist out of town for a while if we can get in there. He will photograph it. And we'll reseal them.
There are ways to do that.
Yeah. And nobody can tell who's been in there. They have evidently socked away in our own depository.
Well, how do they figure to do with that? Well, they go into the archives and get them out again?
Under their agreement, they're the only ones who have access to it.
Well,
for years.
Can the archives be used for that purpose?
Yes. They can.
Can any individual go?
Any citizen can deposit in the National Archives.
Well, that's very interesting.
That's
like
a safety deposit. Yeah. Well, it's better to safety deposit.
Better. Nitze was in it?
I'm quite sure. I will double check that for you. But I'm quite sure Nitze is the third one.
You realize how significant that is?
Yes, sir.
Nitze is on.
It's Clark Clifford's partner, is he not? Or was?
Could you?
Yeah. I have never discussed this with him. I can't discuss this with him.
Is the name?
Yeah.
Is the dream?
I'm not sure, and I'll get back to you today on that.
We can ask him.
Oh, sure.
You got it. Yeah. You got it.
Yeah, they're over home though right now, so I'm not sure.
How is that? Our broken young story. Yeah, there you go. 3 o'clock? Yeah, 3 o'clock with him. What'd you do? I see. I wonder why you aren't. I'll get him up there. Well, like his up here. I'll get him there. I have questions for him. Hey. Is Probe still there? Just put him on. Yeah. Well, Halpern and who? Not Nitze. Nitze show up.
Depositors.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's great.
One of the three depositors, he's involved in this thing.
Is he involved?
Directly. But the third name is Warnke. Paul Warnke. And he's the...
Is Nitze involved too?
Nitze's name appears in this thing right through. And it's Warnke, who is Clifford's partner.
Former defense man.
Yeah. I would like your... instructions on this congressional investigation thing without writing a memo. I just would rather not. Now, the other hazard in the thing is Elliot Richardson and the Cook episode.
Yep.
And that's more manageable in a sense, except that it involves Ellsberg directly. My judgment is that we ought to forget the congressional investigation.
Okay. I understand.
It's going to happen anyway. Fulbright and some others are going to have hearings. Yeah. And, and that'll be on the Johnson decisional process.
Yeah.
And I think we ought to participate in those, prepare witnesses, because administration witnesses are going to be called. I have put maximum effect into that effort. In other words, get our guys to go up there and bomb select the Johnson people.
You're right.
In that process.
I understand. Okay. get out the best way you can. I don't know how the hell we can, there must be a way, but. How else do we get our story out?
Well.
Maybe it can't be gotten out.
We can get it out through declassifying papers, and I think that is a better way, is a more controllable way.
Declassifying, what I mean is, what do we get?
We get Teddy Kennedy, we get.
Those, yeah.
Those kinds of people.
And as far as keeping the prod in, you see, the real thing is to keep the prod in on there.
On the Pentagon papers.
Well, because Bailey is the vice of the Democrats.
That's right. And Fulbright's gonna take care of that for us.
See, Fulbright.
He's gonna start hearings in about 9 days, I understand.
All right.
An effort on the part of the Democrats to ban the law. Still charging ahead. Deliver declassified versions of the Pentagon papers to the Congress in the coming week. The only other thing is the,
You're right, though, in one sense. You've got Henry too tied in.
Yeah, he shows up, you know, in.
Commentary body.
Yeah, and the Galvin Halpern thing.
Not too that uncareful in that respect. And they all, and you know what I mean, and Henry's the devious in the real day. And Christ, they're gonna say, you know, and maybe he said that. Maybe this ought to be done. You know, but you agree?
Yeah, that's my fear. That's my fear. And then we're in a dilemma of his having to appear to defend himself and borrow his immunity
right.
And all that kind of stuff. And that'd be a mess.
We can't do that. I agree. Good job.
Now, I'll get back to you on Mitzi and give you a rundown of how he is involved in this. Because I'm not clear in my own mind as to exactly what his involvement was.
Well, what I would like there is my official consultant and the individual that you discussed with earlier was involved in the following ways.
Right.
The name of your slide that they hear documents floating around.
There's another thing we're going to do, and that is to put a tail on a couple of those paper men.
Timesman.
Beecher and Schultz.
You're bound to find something on Schultz.
Well,
very close to
the time. We've got it. I want to talk to Bob about Beecher's it.
Beecher's a reporter, but Schultz is very close to the time. Very close.
Well, we'd like to do a 30-day surveillance of the two of them, Taps and Tails. One state?
Oh, you mean within our own government?
Yep. Operation. That I'd like to run.
We never did find out who.
We did. We know who the guy is, and I don't think there's a whole lot we can do about it. It turns out to be conservative, as a matter of fact.
And Pentagon?
And no, State Department. One of our
appointees.
Yeah.
One of our appointees?
Well, in a sense, he was hired during this administration.
Well, for good God's sake, so what was that?
Very bright. And 2 hours of the guy.
No, he didn't. Look, I've got all this anyway.
Don't seem like a cat.
So I keep my story. It's great. We can mind, you know, kind of these reporters and clippers.
Oh, sure they are. Sure they are. And it wasn't just this guy, because they picked up stuff from other people around them from their Paris Bureau or somewhere abroad and pieced it all together. We need to know things like who in Senator Jackson's office is Beecher's source. That
guy. And it must be.
Yes.
I suppose.
Well, principally Jackson, he's the worst defender. He's the Defense Department contacts.
Yeah. I get your point.
So, I'll talk to Bob if it can be done well and without a lot of exposure. All I have for today, heard extremely good things about your speech. Very, very good.
Well, we've got our, we now got the problem, the second phase.
Right.
You know, I met the union guys this morning, and if we just didn't have to have that cooperation, the best thing to do is to keep
that.
They're on the wrong side of this issue. And well, I'll tell you, the next time they go for a target command, I'm going to keep moving. No, they were fine this morning. Oh, they but I know why now.
Yeah.
I think they realize that they haven't got the country with them. Of course, we've got the Democrats, of course, are dragging around.
You notice
the interesting point, the usual thing first, it's expected that they would say, well, why do you announce the end of the freeze? Because obviously they want to get on the side of saying, well, actually they are for continuing to control inflation and I'm against it. Well, that's a little hard. It's a little hard to sell.
They don't dare get out on that one yet.
Because they're afraid I don't.
They know what phase two is.
Well, that's what we said.
Yeah. But
the other point that I make, but that's why they did it. They were already trying to find the judges. But the other point that the predictable one, where we don't do enough for the poor people.
Yeah.
I think people are tired of that.
It is.
And the other one, which of course was taken by Brooke, and I understand that if I were black, I'd do the same thing. I suppose he expected to take menial jobs. But you know, John, if there's one thing I am convinced of as far as what is right, that is never. I believe that.
Yeah.
I believe that a person should clean out the restroom. If the state's off of welfare. Now that's a, you agree or not?
Yes, sir. You talk about the national spirit, and that is so important, it seems to me, to a regeneration of the national spirit.
You think it is?
Absolutely.
And I don't know where the kids, that probably turns the kids off, because I suppose once they've had a AB degree, even from Simmons College, Harvard Simmons, they may think that they can then do nothing but be chief executives.
Yeah, but who's going to say that to them, except their parents and the President of the United States?
You mean they think that, you think they ought to be told
they
that?
They must be told that.
Well, they're
absolutely.
Going to be, the professors aren't going to tell.
They haven't heard it in school, that's for sure.
No, the professors don't believe it. No, professors believe that this is a lousy system.
Yeah.
Everybody ought to be out doing it. It's wrong. You shouldn't have to do this kind of work.
Well, yeah.
But you know, it's an interesting thing. Bob said that his kid went out boys, mowing lawns, and all that sort of thing.
Yeah.
It's a goddamn good thing.
You bet it is.
It's a good thing. I'm glad that they do. I was thinking that Don, my brother, he would have been a lot better off if he didn't have that Don. He'd take him in the ass.
Yeah.
He'd work a little.
Yeah. Yeah.
Rather than, you know, try to hamper him.
I've had a boy out shoeing horses all summer. The best thing for him, you know.
Shoeing
horses and putting up fence on a ranch. And just working his fanny off.
What do you think of it?
Oh, yeah, marvelous, sir. Just marvelous. And
he likes the
sense of pride. They built a hay barn.
Yeah.
Biggest thing he's ever done in his life. You know, there it is. His labor's in there.
My old friend, much younger, you know. Dr. Paul. And for people who were born or have psychiatric problems, is laying bricks, chopping wood.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
I believe that.
It's a very interesting thing. And, you know, it's like the mama's fur. I remember mama.
Yeah.
Her mama had a terrible problem with the old man.
Yeah.
And she went out and scrubbed the floor.
Yeah. Winston Churchill used to build walls.
He did.
Brick wall.
He used to build, lay brick on brick.
Yeah.
And others go out and chop wood.
Yeah.
Men of very great
seriously.
Well, maybe that part of our problem in our modern society is bringing the labor-saving device to the point that we all maybe sit too much.
Vegetate.
We sit, and I think, I don't know.
Television. Yeah.
We're told, and as a matter of fact, that speech was a damn well-written speech.
You delivered it well. You had your heart in that. It came across beautifully.
Well, I had those lines that I had developed most of myself, read, and a lot of written stuff. You could tell which.
Well,
but you know, and I had, and also I had the structure the way I wanted. I outlined the whole thing.
Yeah.
The thing that I have great problem with, which I've talked to all of them about, you don't seem to mind it yet. Now you've got a prize in Sapphire and his lesser people in Elephant. Excellent. And Sapphire, a very good writer, I mean, with on that whole writing staff, this is a very interesting thing. Yeah, but what virtually every president I have is that. By the state they were, are, do you remember that? Well, anyway, but you know what you don't have? A speech doctor. Who goes through, who takes the speech, beautiful, and then parses it out for a chew on. Now, every speech doesn't have to have a chew on, but a speech for the Congress has to have a chew on. You take some of the lines in there, that the work that I have to do in a speech, and is stuff that, say, that Christ has prepared, or Sapphire, a little better chew on, so I get all of this tentative to cue. And the point really is not the substance, but it's the timing, it's the breaking,
yeah,
so forth.
Yeah.
Let me tell you one prime example, which you just wrote in the speech at the last minute. Nellie Yates is remembering this, you were doing the last popular sentence. About, you know, we want to put in something about the welfare program. We put in for Elliot.
Yeah.
And it was all in one sentence. He says, let us change the system, burden on local and state governments, burden on local and state governments, which has a crushing burden on local and state governments. I'm thinking just the way you wrote it. Incentives for people to engage in the system in terms of people's credit. Let's change the system. Get rid of the system. Where go along welfare, maybe go to work. Now that is the line everybody, if not everybody, but most people will remember that line,
yeah,
correct?
Yeah.
It doesn't say a thing different. That is really what so-called work fair. Now Sapphire had, let us have work fair instead of welfare.
Yeah.
Too cute,
doesn't mean.
Was too cute.
Yeah.
But don't you, yeah, but when you really come down to it, but the work provisions of the welfare, the only way the goddamn thing can be sold is this, is really that at the present time we do have a system which in many instances makes it more profitable for a man to go on welfare than to go to work.
Yeah.
Correct?
Yeah.
This system, if it's any good at all, will remove that incentive. It will provide that a person who goes to work will not lose.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is not more profitable to stay on welfare. Isn't that really what
that's? That's right. There's a good line and an up line, something they call.
But it's catchy.
Yeah.
It's catchy, and yet, but what I'm getting at is that we really ought to find. I do think there ought to be somebody, John, who can take speech and just read through it and speak.
And starts. Yeah.
I shouldn't have to do that.
Right?
You agree?
Yes, sir. You don't hear about speech doctors much anymore. You know, that used to be a phrase.
Oh.
There were certain.
Do you remember Rutherford?
Oh yeah.
He got his speech in grade.
Yeah.
All he used to do some. But you see, the writers you have in the domestic council. Did you ever read any one of Henry's first drafts?
Yes. Yeah.
My God.
Very heavy going.
But the point is they're absolutely correct. They're great papers and they'll read well and they'll look good historically and not worth a damn as a public statement. Made orally. The oral delivery is totally different from the written delivery. And so the problem that I have, and the reason that speeches, I don't like to do too many of them, is, for this time, not have anybody at the present time who will take any of this goddamn well-written stuff that they have, which is very solid on substance, and then just sort of go through and say, well, now how can we break this 200 word sentence down into 450 word sentences.
Mm-hmm.
Things like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
That one lasted yesterday, if I know anything. Considering the subject, the horribly dull subject, as my daughter Tricia said, that economics is an awful dull subject, and that's about education. And that's about as well as much time to save in the damn speed. But nevertheless, economics, a terribly dull subject to begin with, it was absolutely essential to have it written in a way where you have some degree of lifting.
Actually, John Connolly said last night, he felt one of the best you've ever delivered. And I'm quite thinking he was right. There was some little electricity in there. You were really in there. And Arthur thought, well, I saw him. I better tell you about welfare reform, I guess. I had a meeting with Gene Cowan, who's our secret agent up there. Gene says welfare reform will not go anywhere on the floor of the Senate, provided we do not make a deal with Rivercroft. He has taken very careful notes, Cowan. And he said, if we do not move left to a compromise with Rivercroft, there will not be a welfare reform bill.
What's Rivercroft?
Well, he's got all sorts of daycare and liberalized stuff of all kinds that he wants to hang on this thing in Florida. It sits in three groups. People who don't want any welfare reform at all, people who are with Rivercroft, and people who are with the present form of HR1. No one of those groups is big enough to carry the day. So there's no combination.
John, let me say this. There will be no compromise in terms of liberality.
Well, I told him that.
Never. I have grave doubts about going as far as we have.
Well, I knew that. And so he says that long strategy is to do nothing until December, under any circumstances. And he said he doesn't see much point in your trying to cut a deal with Long.
I have to see Long, all right.
You may have to see him, but you may just have to talk about the weather.
Let's talk about it.
But he said you can't trust Long. He's drinking a lot. He's talking while he's drinking. And he said, don't tell him anything that you don't want to have.
He says he's talking.
Yeah.
So, he was off of it, or not off of it, but not that you know, quite a bit older than that.
Yeah.
He's married.
Yeah.
But I guess he's very stolen.
His school busing, Cui came out strongly for busing. Yesterday. So Cui is going to offer an amendment to the emergency school money.
What do I mean?
I don't know why. I think conviction. I think he's just...
You believe?
Yeah. Why? But in any event, he is going to offer an amendment. And I had McGregor suggest to Cui that he let the Office of Education do the technical work on his amendment to be sure that it met the technical requirements of the rest of the legislation, which will give us some control over what the amendment says without our having to endorse it anyway. Just with the customary congressional request for technical assistance.
We sure have endorsed it.
Oh, no. No need. As a matter of fact, it won't pass. That remains to be seen. McGregor seems to think it might.
A busing amendment?
Yeah. Yeah. An amendment that says the federal money can be used for busing under court order.
Oh.
A lot of Southern support for that.
We don't.
Well, I don't think you ought to say so. I think that'll push your position. So maybe at some appropriate time you can. But right now I wouldn't want to come out and say anything different than you've been saying. You're asking about busing. I would simply reiterate what you said, that you believe in applying federal money to education. Transportation is so remote in its connection to education that ought to be a matter of local decision. If such an amendment as this does come through and is adopted, then at the appropriate time you sign the legislation, which will solve the problem of some of the people who have a lot of money. Christie, for instance, is under a mandate to bus, and they haven't been getting money. Cut back and music and athletics and other stuff in that school. And we are, and that's Muskie. He's on both sides.
He sure is. they don't seem to keep you.
Well, we're gonna keep trying to smoke him out on that.
Yeah, we can blame him out. All right, fine.
Well,